Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Happy Canada Day and good Erev Shabbos. We're going to start and finish, hopefully today, the question that I raised last week. How do we calculate the bill of the Vat Bayit? Is it according to the size of the apartment? Is it according to the members of the family? Or is it according to each family? In our previous building where we lived in Ramot, so we had 8 levels. And 3 of them had 4 in each level, meaning that we had 12 small apartments. And there were 5 levels that had 2 apartments in each level, meaning that there were 10 big apartments. And the 10 big obviously wanted to change the rule and not pay according to the size of the house, but according to each apartment. One of those apartments, which was actually a big apartment, was a person that had, can I know, 10 children, and they were wild animals, and they used to always play in the hallways and do a lot of mess, and every single thing that was a problem came from them, and he insisted that we should do according to each family. So he said, maybe we should do according to the number of people in the family. So he said to me, "Ma'apitom, chas v'sholom, how can you possibly do according to the number of people in the family?" So, That's usually the way things work. Everyone wants to have what's convenient for them. So we'll discuss that. But beforehand, I want to discuss something that we didn't manage to discuss last week. And that is regarding a neighbor that he decides that he's a big tzaddik. And the building wants to do some kind of thing that contradicts, according to him, his tzidkus. Let's say 99% of the tenants want to now designate a part of the public area and turn it into a movie theater. They'll have a movie theater. They'll have their nice DVD player, and they'll have a nice whatever, something that comes down and can project a nice movie. There'll be movie night every single day. Everyone wants it except one neighbor that he's Baal Tshuva, and he says, "No, I cannot do it because it's against my religious belief." So what I'm saying is about tshuva, because if he was if he was religious to begin with, so in that case, why did he live there? I mean, he should have lived in Bnei Brak or Herzliya. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. This is digging a hole deeper. Yeah, deeper. Okay. Okay, of course, everything is humorous and funny, and that's how things are here at whatever. I can't mention the venue. So anyways, so let's start with source number one. I'm talking too much. Let's see that the Mishnah in source number one. We saw last week that the Mishnah says that person, one neighbor could force the other neighbor to build a Beit Sha'ar. And we said at the time that is in order to prevent Hezekriah. The Gemara in source number two says, wait a second, so you're saying to me that this is a very important thing to have in your yard a Beit Sha'ar, lememra de Beit Sha'ar me'al yutahi veha ha'hu chasida de ha've ragil Eliyahu de ha'vim shtai behadei avad Beit Sha'ar v'tulam shtai behadei. There was a story about a certain chasid, a great righteous person, that he used to have a daily chavrusa with Eliyahu Anavi, and he built a Beit Sha'ar in his yard, and then the chavrusa didn't show up anymore. And not because of Canada Day, but because of the Beit Sha'ar. Because of that, the chavrusa didn't show up anymore. So you see from here that it is a problem, as Rashi says. Why should it be a problem? As Rashi says in source number 3, lefi shemafsik ba'aniim hatzuakim ve'en kulam nishma. If you're going to put this Beit Sha'ar, so because of that, it's a machlokes rishonim. Why is it such a problem? But if you have this Beit Sha'ar, that will ultimately prevent the poor people of the neighborhood entering your yard and asking for money. So in that case, if you put the Beit Sha'ar, you're going to prevent the entrance of the Aniyim, and because of that, Eliyahu didn't come to that Chassid anymore. So we see from there that having a Beit Sha'ar is not a good thing. So how could the Mishnah possibly say that one could force the other to have a Beit Sha'ar? We'll see that if a person has a Beit Sha'ar, he will lose Eliyahu and Avi. So in that case, how could one neighbor force the other neighbor to have a Beit Sha'ar? So the Gemara gives numerous answers. Lokashi, I didn't bring all the answers because, as I said, it's Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand it, if it's inside, outside, with a door, without a door. We'll leave that aside for now. But we just see from here that having Beit Sha'ar could prevent you from seeing Eliyahu Hanavi. Asks the Chazon Ish in source number 4. He says, why do you need to ask me from what kind of stories? Don't ask any stories. We have our minds. We have a functional mind. Let's just ask Svara. Don't have a Beit Sha'ar because poor people won't be able to come and ask for tzedakah. Why do you have to bring us a story? In source number 4, Chazon Ish, Belo ha'hu uvda have matzila k'shuyei. Kivan de'u sotem b'fnei aniyim in la'sotken. So why do you have to bring us this story of the chassid? So he says, he gives two answers. Answer number 1 is, Ela, kavu ba'gemara ha'hu uvda, le'meilav de'chassidut me'viyah l'de'gilu
Eliyahu. The Gemara wanted to teach you from this story that if you want to obtain Nevuah and meet Eliyahu Navi, so if you're a chassid, you will achieve it and you will have a chavrusa with Eliyahu. V'liyoto ragil yashnu ba'adi. V'efshar l'adam chassid, liyot tarud, v'lasot ma'ase sheyesh ba'min hafsad ha'niyim, v'lo irgish. So he says, lesson number one from this story is that if you are a chassid and you have a chavrusa with Eliyahu and you did something and you're not even aware that there's a problem with this thing, you thought that this is a good thing to do, to put a beit shar in order to prevent Hezekiah, is the right thing to do, and you have no idea that this is a problem. You're completely shoyig in this thing. Says Chazonish, even if you make a mistake, sometimes you lose your chavrusa with Eliyahu Navi. That's lesson number one, a very important lesson. That you lose this chassidus level when you make even an honest mistake. This is also brought in the Yerushalmi. See in the footnote right now. Not now, but see at home in a certain case when someone did something according to halacha, and then again he lost his chavrusa and time with Eliyahu Navi because he did something which is not appropriate for a chassid. Okay, that is one answer. Hopefully, lemaisa for all of us. Not at the moment. Sorry. It's the next level. Yeah. It's in number two. Don't worry. We will get to the riddle. Don't worry. I know that you didn't sleep the past week. So, that is answer number one. Answer number two, says the Chazon Ish, and this is more, halacha lemaisa, apparently according to Sefer Poskim. He says, Efshar, de'i lav ha'hu uvda, yesh lomar, she'en adam ha'chav lisbol eze kiriya, mpe tovat aniyim, ve'ezi mechovet tzedakah. ואף דבלו דלת פותחת בפנים, אין הפסד עניים, מקום מקום, אם טובעת בעל הבית ופותחת בפנים, אינו חייב למנע בשביל עניים. Says the Chazon Ish, we had to bring you the question from the case of the Chassid. Why? Because if it was only because of the aniim, says the Chazon Ish, it's with all due respect, with all our concern for the aniim, and we want to give them tzedakah, we want to help them, but nevertheless, it cannot be on the expense of yourself. And if you are going to keep your chaser open for the aniim to come, and because of that, you're going to lose Hezekiah, people are going to come look inside your property, you're going to lose your privacy, with all due respect, that's not a good reason to not have a beit shal. Because you could say, I love that name, I want to help them, but still, I want to have my privacy. So they'll come meet me in certain hours, we'll have a certain time, we'll meet at shul, I don't know, but I don't want them to come to my house. That is a good claim. So that is not enough of a reason for us to tell you, hey, how can you have a bichar? Anim are not coming to your house. That's not a good claim. Because your privacy is above your chiv of tzedakah. That is the reason. However, so why do we ask you from the question of the chassid? Aval Eliyahu horalo shemidat chassidut shelo lasot bichar. Umekoko parich bagemara dekivan mevat chassidut shelo lasot bichar. Ein echad yachol achuf lechaveru lasot bichar. Unbelievable. Says the Chazon Ish, although the halacha ma'isam allowed to have a bichar and prevent the poor people from coming to my house. However, I could say to you, I do not want to have a beit shar. Why? Because I'm losing my madriga ruchani. I'm losing my spiritual level. I'm losing my chavrusa with Eliyahu Hanavi. And that is a claim for me to tell you that, excuse me, I don't want to have a beit shar. We learn from this case that although halacha said this is a good reason, but if a person says that the reason why he doesn't want to be shar is because I'm losing my madriga, that is a good claim, and he can prevent the neighbor from having bishar. And then they have to build the bishar according to what the Gemara said. Outside, inside, with a door, without a door, whatever the Gemara said. So only then, so we a big stuff for the Chazon Ish. A person could say, I object because of my spiritual level. Yeah? So you know, I was preparing the shiur. Very good question. I was preparing the shiur beforehand, and my son Moishi asked the exact same question because we learned. I gave a shiur a few weeks ago about a person that bought something which is not kosher. So of course, it's a mekhtos. But what happens if it's something which is kosher, but if he's machmir, it's a good reason not to have it. So Moishi said that certain posik said that you have to be a machzik to be a chassid in order to claim that. So I wonder if that is. So Moishi wonders, and because of that, I wonder as well. Is that also here a prerequisite? We have to know he is a chassid, and because of that, he could claim, listen, I'm a chassid. Very good, Taina. Very good, Taina. I don't know. I didn't see any posik who says so. I brought here a few examples. I didn't see any posik who says so, but it's a very good time. Maybe he has to be a chassid. A beishar. So he said, listen, I want a chavrusa with Eliyahu Navi, so please don't do it. Or he has to have a chavrusa with Eliyahu Navi. I don't know. But certain posts can use this halacha lemaise.
If it would be a real chesed, he will invite his neighbors for a chabur.
Oh, yeah. His house will be open, everyone invited to come and give tzedakah and learn together. Tanya, we'll have tehillim, Tanya and tzedakah, and Baruch Hashem. We have, yeah. Okay, so, the people think that our kol is a Chabad kol. So, in source number 5.
They're gonna think we have a sense of humor.
Yeah. That's no concern. So anyways, the Avdei Choshen, the book of Avdei Choshen, I think this is the son of Rabbi Zilberstein, but I'm not sure, but the author of the book is Zilberstein, and he says, "Dayar mevakesh leatkin v'cheder madrigot mar elenoy." It's a very nice thing to have in every single level in the building, or at least in the entrance, to have there a mirror. It's both nice, and also you could examine yourself before you leave the building, or a guest could come inside, examine himself before he comes to your house. And that in a sense that this is a very common thing to have in a building, to have a mirror. And indeed it is. By the way, in Israel, I think in my building, every single level had a mirror. We had a mirror. Actually, the entrance didn't have a mirror, but other than that, every single one had a mirror. So certain neighbors, there is a Shulchan Aruch that paskins because of the Gilbash, that a man should not examine himself in the mirror and look at himself in the mirror. So in that case, then the neighbor could say, listen, I don't want to have a mirror in our building because of that. I'm going to violate every single day the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. Although all of us have mirrors at home, hopefully, but this person is machmir about himself. So is this a good claim? Can they object because of that, because of the mirrors? Says the Avnei Choshen, and in the footnote, see that he actually brings it from the Chazon Ish. Ein lachuf ben chatzera mitnaged lehamadat mara bechadar madrigot, kasher yesh bedbar chashash isur, v'yesh limtzo tachlif lamara, al ydei dvarim acherim hameshevim chazut na labayit v'chadar madrigot, ubifrat b'shchuna charidit kana'e letendir chachamim asher yeshuvam na'e. We have to have a beautiful city in certain neighborhoods, according to Avnei Choshen, because of that, we should find something else. But not a mirror, because a mirror is something which is according to, at least according to Shulchan Aruch, it might be a problem. So because of that, that's a good reason to object. Now back to the riddle. Why? So he's not here, Diana, because he wants to hear the answer to it. So there's a riddle that he brings actually in his book, Avnei Choshen, and he says, כיצד ייתכן שישנה עבירה שאסור לעשותה, אך בהצטרף אליה עבירה נוספת, מותר לעשות שניהם. If you do one avira, if you add another avira to it, so it'll be okay. So it has something to do with mirrors. I'll give out the answer, because you're intense ready for the past week. So the answer is that a person is not allowed to have a haircut with a non-Jew barber, as the Shulchan Aruch says, because there's a concern. But if you add another Isser looking in the mirror at the same time, so in that case it is okay, because he won't.
That's also because you're not looking at yourself in the mirror, you're looking at the barber or whatever.
Psych ratio that you're looking at yourself as well. But that is the answer, that you can't have a non-Jew barber, and if you add another Isser looking in the mirror, so in that case obviously it became okay to have this haircut by the non-Jewish barber.
Are there people that are not looking in the mirror?
I personally don't know anybody.
We generally speaking are halacha that this has stopped being something that only women do at roughly the time when mirrors became standard in people's homes. I did something in Toronto Torah about a year ago about
mirrors. It's rather simple. The kids of the house told us our custom didn't have mirrors.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I'm mistaken, I think the Tiferes Yisrael says so, that we have to make sure that at least the Tamid Chachamim have to look in a nice way. They have to do that. Yeah. So I think also that the reason why it is okay, because we use the mirror not to beautify ourselves, but to take off all kind of blemishes, which is also another good reason.
What people don't realize culturally is that historically, it's relatively recent that mirrors were available in people's homes. It wasn't like it was a normal thing until recent centuries. So when Chazal are talking about this, it's like you want to see yourself, you have to go out and actually get something.
Yeah.
All the stories, let's say the Gemara, the guy donated to the Nazir, the one Nazir that
and he found out that he has it looks good after he looks.
The
Oh, that's a different
thing. It's your finish.
Okay, so that, so again, the yesod in the Chazanish is, a person could object something because he says it's against my religious belief, and it has to be a good claim. So one claim that is accepted according to Avni Choshen is a mirror. I brought you another example, just because he brought additional sources which are important, and also I personally don't agree with him. The Shimri Mishpat in source number 6, Dayan Shlomo Zafrani Shlita. So he brings the following question: Bidinat Kanat Tzalachat Lavyan Agbei Gag Meshutaf Dayar Acharei LaDvar Hashem Mitgorer B'Yam Meshutaf Yom Echad Bikshu Mitzad Adayrim Latkin Tzalachat לוויין הגבי, גג הבניין המשותף. לשם כך ערכו אספת דיירים וקיבלו החלטה על פי דעת הרוב לאפשר את התקנת הצלחת. So, there is a building and they want to now to have a satellite dish on the top of the building in order, I think, to enable those who want to have a certain cable service to connect to it. But some person says that I'm against it. Although he is the minority, can he say that I'm against it because of religious reasons? I don't even understand the question, honestly, because this is not something that happens in the public domain, meaning they're not now opening a movie theater inside the building or now having cable service and now going to project 24/7 in the hallway. They're just enabling people to do things inside their private domain. Why is this even shaykh to this thing? I don't understand. But he says that he says it's a pegiya of tznius. V'keshem shelo eskimu lakavat brecha meorevet al agag, kach gam ken lo yifshehu atkanat tzalachat lavyan. He says that for religious reasons, for sure I could disagree of having a mixed pool on the roof of my building. So the same thing I can also object to have a satellite dish. Why is it even shaykh?
They're tiny was pegiya of tznius and not motzi shemra.
Yeah,
I would assume their concern is that their neighbors are going to think that they actually are using this. That's what I would have assumed that the concern was not.
Yeah, maybe they're concerned. They're concerned about their neighbors.
It's going to create a culture in the building.
Yeah, that people are going to walk outside. Did you see last night's movie? Maybe that would be the problem. I don't know. But
I mean, still today, I know my father was growing up in Bedrock, and they had TV in their house, but they had to close the window before they opened the TV and to cover it when it was open, so the neighbors would not see that they have a TV at home.
The question is, can a neighbor say a taina that it disturbs me that I see from your window? I see what's happening inside. I don't think he has time to do that. Anyways, but the question I personally disagree. But the sources that he brings are just sources which are relevant to our case. He brings the Shulchan Aruch in Chol Shemish Batkuf Semech Alef Sif Hey in source number 7 that Echam Ashtafim B'Chatzer Shebikesh Tamid Bar Behemar Ichaim Legdebot Al Neulim Chavu Makev Alav Vechen Shar Dvarim She'ein Derech Vnei Makom Lasot Am B'Chatzrotayim. One neighbor wants to put in the public domain. He wants to put an animal or chickens. So one person could protest and say, listen, a person is allowed to do in the public domain what is acceptable, what is the minhag. You cannot do something which is against the minhag. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You could use the public domain only for things that are according to the minhag. Says the Sma, but in certain cases, I can do something which is against the minhag. For instance, says the Sma, it's the Shulchan Aruch and the Sma, but if the minhag of the town is to wash your laundry near the river, yeah, and not in your personal backyard, but everyone are going to the river, and there they're washing their clothes. So in that case, you're allowed to wash your clothes in the yard, and not at the river. Why, says the Sma? Because a person can say, "Ein ratzoni shebiti titbaze atzma lanar hadinimo sheinu luchim achar min hagaroa kaze." He says that if she will have my daughter, my wife will have to wash the laundry in the river, I don't want her to be in a public place. Maybe she'll get wet. Maybe she'll have to open to lift up her sleeves. I don't know. He says I feel that there's a tznius issue here because of that. Says the Sma, and he's explaining the Shulchan Aruch. This is a good reason, and now he's actually going to force to do something which is against the minhag, to have laundry in the yard, because he said it's more tsanua, more private there. So we see from here that if the minhag is a bad minhag, so you could do something against the minhag. So says the Shimon Mishpat, the Dayan Zafrani, so back to our case of the satellite, even though the majority want to have this thing, and they maybe can now create a minhag by the fact that they are the majority, it still has a minhag, it's a bad minhag, because it will cause cause tznius problems. And then he also adds, according to the Chazon Ish, see in the next page, also see the Chazon Ish, a person could object because it's against his religious level, and that's a good claim for him to object. So anyway, we see from all of these sources, both from the Sma and the Chazon Ish, that a religious claim is actually a good claim, and he could say, I object because this is not according to my religious level.
Yes, two questions. So first of all, is the halacha going to be different if I don't want to put this tzalach lavyan on my on the roof, but I want to put it on my balcony, for example?
I personally
want the in the building that they're going to be.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you use the satellite in your private house. That's why I don't even understand
the problem of criticism in my apartment building. I don't want the neighbors to have.
So the question is, can a neighbor disable the internet access of the entire building until they have a filtered internet? I don't think so. I think this is a bit extreme.
What's going to happen if one day this person is going to come and say, I don't want this family to live in the building because they're not the religious.
I agree.
You're asking the question, you know, on the wrong point.
Yeah. I certainly agree. As I said, I personally think that either he doesn't really know what a satellite dish is, or that there's a clear chiluk that how could you possibly intervene and interfere what's happening in the private domain? Because all of the sources that he brings are things that are concerning the public domain of having using the public domain to wash the laundry.
The principle itself, the fact that something a religious spiritual claim can be a taina for you to force someone not to do something.
I could force that.
Let's
ask a better question. Can he demand his neighbors to look in a more modest way?
But we dealt with that in the beginning of the year under Shechinim in general.
Yeah,
the answer was yes. The answer was that when it came to
You said there right there with the Avdei Mishpat, the Shar Mishpat.
Yeah,
that you brought
the Shar Mishpat, the case of the guy
of the Gerusha
shouldn't live near his
of his divorcee.
So we did say there was room for that, but there, what he's talking about here is conduct that's going to go on in a private space, which is going to create a culture, which will in turn affect him.
That's your explanation to somehow understand him. Yeah. I agree.
In the building because so and so and so. So I don't want that me and my family.
Yeah, you could expand that to anything.
Yeah,
even Avela, it's Metamtem as Halev, and now their behavior.
I agree about personal domain. They could not do that, but in public domain, don't do something which will affect me. That could be a taina. Also, the Sma says that I could do something against the Minhag because of tznius issues outside. It doesn't say I can prevent you from doing non tznius things here. The Sma doesn't say that. So I don't think the halacha will allow a person to say that I don't want you to live here because of certain things. I could conduct myself differently. According to the Sma, again, I could conduct myself differently. Halacha against the minhag because I want to be righteous and pious. So you're now saying that, let's say there's something that you personally do cannot affect me.
I don't know. They're using the stairs, the elevator. They're using the public.
I find it hard to believe.
They're not only staying in their apartment.
Because no one could actually tell someone to leave. You don't see anything that.
According to this, I don't see why not.
No, because there's a difference between taking your bylaws as opposed to
a
question: how can we use the public domain? You walking in the building is not using the public domain.
Why not? What's the difference between putting a mirror in the lobby or?
Putting the mirror in the lobby is something which is supposed to be a shimush of the entire building. You walking in the building is not a shimush of the entire building. The question is, we want now to designate the public area to do something publicly. The answer is, we cannot do something publicly which affects someone personally. But you walking in the building is not doing a shimush tziburi, a public shimush. It's you doing a private shimush in the building, which is for sure okay. No one can tell you not to use the building for your own use, which is a shimush prati. But now we want to discuss how we're now going to do a public shimush in the building. So only then a person can say, listen, I'm a tzaddik. Meaning things that affect you personally, I cannot stop you. But now you want to do something, a public event for everyone, which I say, listen, this is offending to me. That is actually a claim that I could say. I think this is a clear chiluk. Okay.
I mean, there's definitely what to say. It's just, yeah.
Okay. I'm happy that this is something which is engaging and it's a mind opener and you have to think about it. Very good. Bring it to your Shabbos table. Okay, now we have to carry on to the taxes and the calculation of taxes in the building. Is it according to the size of the house? Is it according to the people or the possessions that you have inside? So let's see. That's actually what I was actually aiming for this entire 2 weeks, and I have 35 minutes to talk about it. So the Gemara says in source number 10, "Ba'minei Rabbi Lazar merabbi Yochanan, k'shehem govim." When we need to now collect money for the wall of the city, "Lefi nefashot govim, odima lefi shvach mamon govim." Do we do it according to the families, or do we do it according to the money that you have inside? You see the footnote. There's a machlokus, a potential machlokus among the poskim when you see nefashot. Do you mean households, or do you mean the number of people? Meaning they could have like 10 households, but one household has 100 people inside. So the Chatam Sofer says, regarding a case of a shul, so he says, nefashot, haynu kol bal bayit in kol bnei veito, anashim, nashim vataf, asmuchim alav, nefesh echad yichashev. He says, according to the family. And my neighbor that has 10 children is absolutely right. That yes, go according to one family, that is nefashot. Family of 10 is considered to be one.
He's discussing this in what context? Is he on in the caravan case?
No. I think the caravan case comes up all the time. The Tosfa brings it all the time.
The Shema Sedeshin here is the caravan case.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. His case is the case of a shul. Mm-hmm. Also, that case.
Oh,
yeah,
is that the voting case?
So I think that's it is. I think it's a vote, and it's very, very. I mean, it is actually a solution that he brings by himself. Meaning, he says, "We'll calculate this, we'll calculate that," and he has a big picture. That's his answer. Yeah. So I don't know how much to take the Chatam Sofer as seriously as it's supposed to be. Maybe be the Tuan Deshen, though. He, I think, does discuss the caravan case of people which are now in danger. Now we have to save them. So he says, yes, every single person needs to have health insurance. Every single person needs to have safety and to have some kind of guard to help them. So in that case, all of them together are part of the calculations. So you go according to each family member separately. Nefeshot means every single person by himself, not as a family. But again, that is the subject of the Gemara regarding the wall of the building. Do you go according to nefeshos, the number of people, or the money which will be saved? Amar lei, lefi mamon govim, we calculate according to the money. And my son Elazar, so he said, that's the halacha, according to money. The Gemara gives us a different way of calculating. That if you are in a city, so do we calculate according to do we go according to Kiruv Batim, to how close it is to the wall? Again, we're here discussing a city, and they're now building the wall, and now we want it with this wall to prevent enemies to come and attack. So maybe the person who lives the closest to the wall, he's the first person who will be attacked. So in that case, maybe you should go according to that. Odilma lefim ongovim, again, but the person who lives maybe more inside, so he has more money that will be saved by this wall, so maybe we should go according to the money that he has. The Gemara says in this Ikud Amway, in this Lishna, we go according to the closeness of the house to the wall of the city. So, two Lishnas in the Gemara. Lishna number one says, according to the money. Lishna number two says, according to the closeness of the house to the wall of the city. Do these two Lishnos necessarily contradict each other? Are they chulkim one each other? Are they in agreement? What do the Rishonim have to say about that? So there are actually two approaches, Tosfot and Rosh on one hand, and Rif and Rambam on the other hand, that also trickles to Halacha in Source 15. The Rosh says, according to Yosef Alevi, בין לישנה קמה, בין לישנה בתרה, both lishnos, אין גובין לפי נפשות, אלא לפי שבח ממון. We go according to the money, that's the prime reason. מיר לישנה בתרה, תפוי יהוד מטפי, he adds another thing, דה שבח ממון גובים אותו לפי קרוב בתים. It's, you calculate both things together. It's not only the amount of money that you have in your house, which is now being protected, but you also go according to how close it is to the city. And he gives you an example, אם יש בית קרוב, there's the first house close to the wall. That'll be the first house which will be chasshom looted if the enemies will attack. However, this person doesn't have any possessions at all. He doesn't have anything at all. Why should he even pay for having the building? Because he's actually not protecting anything. So he says in that case, that's why this person, if he doesn't have any money at all, so he won't have to pay. See the last line, בית בתים שיש בהם המון בשווה, אחד קרוב ואחד רחוק, הקרוב נותן יותר מן הרחוק. A person who has, both of them have the exact same amount of money in their house, but one is closer, obviously the person who's closer has to pay more. So he says, the main reason is money. But we add another factor, and that is the factor of the close, how close it is to the wall. Yeah, Moshi? כי זה שתי אפשרות אחרות. פעם זה ככה, פעם זה ככה. יש שתי גרסאות לסיפור. But in source 13 and 14, Rif and Rambam say, no, we go according to only one approach, and that is the approach of the Keruv Batim, how close you are to the edge of the city. Rif brings the question of the Gemara. He says, בא מנה רב לעזר רב יוחנן, כשהם גובים, לפי נפשות הם גובים, do you go according to the number of people in the house, או לפי שבח ממון, the amount of money, or lefi kiruv batim. He brings us a question, it's either A, B, or C, and the answer is, he says, lefi kiruv batim. You go according to how close it is to the city. And halacha ma'aseh in source 15, Shulchan Aruch says, כשגובים אנשי העיר לבנות חומה, גובים לפי קירוב בתים. סתם שולחן ערוך, according to Rif and Rambam, how do you calculate how much people should participate and give money for the wall of the city? How close you are to the city. That is, סתם שולחן ערוך. You're closer to the wall, you have to pay more. You're further, you pay less. Yesh omrim, however, Shulchan Aruch says that according to some poskim, Rosh and Tosfot, as we mentioned, lefi mamon, no, the main reason is the money, acha shechaku lefi mamon, guvim gam ken is a bayit karov lachoma. Okay, chamudi. So you go according to which one, so the primary reason is the money, but if you don't have any money, even though you're close, we don't care. But if you both have the same amount of money, so whatever is closer will pay more. That is according to Shulchan Aruch. But again, this is regarding the wall of the city. This is regarding the wall of the city. Will we say the same thing also regarding a chatzar? Because a chatzar is a much smaller place. It's only a yard with only a few houses inside. Maybe there it will be different. Indeed, Shulchan Aruch says that כשגובים, in source 16, כשגובים דברים אלו, גובים לפי ממון, ולא לפי קירוב בתים. דווקא בעיר אמרו לפי קירוב בתים. אבל לא בחצר. סתם Shulchan Aruch regarding a chatzar is that we go according to money, only according to the money, because as the Sma says in source 17, the chatzar is small. There's so even if burglars will come inside, so they won't necessarily go only to the first house because it's so small. Everything is already in danger equally, and because of that, we won't take in account how close they are to the city, but we'll go only according to the mammon. We'll go only according to the amount of money that each house has, and if they have a lot of money, so in that case they have to have a higher insurance, have to pay more for their insurance. Oh, we have only 27 minutes left, and I have here three full pages. Okay, Bizar Hashem, hopefully we'll do it. What does it mean to, why is it that we go, that we calculate according to the money? Why is it that we calculate according to the money? Why should a person that has more money should pay more? So we'll see that there are three approaches among the commentators and the poskim. The first explanation would be the reason is because the money causes the burglars to come. Why is a burglar coming? He's coming because he wants money. So if you have a lot of money, so he wants more reasons to come to this place. If he knew that this is a poor neighborhood and there's nothing to steal, so maybe he wouldn't bother. But once he knows that there is a person that has a lot of money in this place, that might cause him to come. Where does this come from? So there is a fundamental Tosfot here that I think that on this Tosfot by itself, we could have a long, long discussion. Tosfot says that we go according, again, we go according to the amount of money. But we don't go according to the sakanas nefoshos in the town. Halacha maisa, we say we go according to money and not according to the sakana of the lives. Why? Says Tosfot in source 18, kivan she'en sakana nefashot, lo azina batar mamon. This is the caravan case. In the case of the caravan case, you have people walking in the desert, and now they want to have security with them, so they have to pay according to the, each person has to pay according to the possessions that they bring with them. If a person is going without any possessions, he doesn't have to have any travel insurance if he has a lot of possessions. So he pays the travel insurance. Why? Because the robbers that might come, they're coming not to kill, they're coming for the money. So because of that, we have to pay according to the money. And the same thing will be also regarding the town. Tosfot asks a case from Baba Machteres. As we know, Baba Machteres, a burglar is coming inside Reuven's house. Reuven could kill the burglar. Why could he kill the burglar? Because we are concerned that the burglar, he is here for the money. However, if you'll see the house owner starting to confront him, so he's willing to kill him. So Reuven, to begin with, could kill him. So ask Tosfot, back in the caravan case, the robbers in the desert, although they're coming for the money, but they know very clearly that if they won't hand the money, they're going to kill the entire people, and now take from them the money. So in that case, it is again a nefashious issue, and not only a monetary issue, as Tosfot. Says Tosfot, I'll tell you why there's a difference. In the case, and I'm explaining him the Tosfot according to Maharam of Lublin, won't see it inside because of the time. So he says, Tosfot, the reason why we go according to the money and not according to the threat of the lives is because if the burglars will come for the money, so you could just hand the money and that's it. Give them the money, and there won't be any sekanos afashos. And because of that, we go according to the money. What is the obvious question? Baal Machter, it's the same thing. So in that case, the same thing exactly with Baal Machter. That's the question of Kovitz Shiurim and Reuven Grodzowski. They both ask, wait a second. So in that case, go back to Baal Machter, say to him, don't kill him. He's not here to kill you. He's here for your money. So what? Give him the money and don't kill him. So says Kovitz Shiurim, something which is very, very odd. He says, I'll tell you what. In the case of Baal Machteres, you don't have to give him your money. You don't have to give him the money. So because of that, you could kill him because you don't have to give him the money. So in that case, back again. So wait a second. So why do you have to give the money over here in the case of the caravan case? And why in the case of Baal Machteres, you don't have to give the money? I mean, we always will have the question is, why is it that here is like that? And why is it here like that? That's the basic question that we'll always have to deal with. Again, so just the fundamental question. Why is it that in the case of the caravan case and also the case of putting a wall of the city, you go according to the money when it could potentially easily become a nefashious concern that they might start killing people if they won't hand them the money. But in the case of Baal Machteres, so we say immediately it's a nefashious issue and not a money issue. So Reuven Grodzowski, the son-in-law of the Birka Shmuel, he says that the reason is because honestly, the case of Baal Machteres is you're an anus. Since we know that naturally a person won't allow a person to come and invade his house, and he will confront him because he wants to take care of his possessions, so naturally you will not hand your money, and that's why naturally this is actually a nefashious issue, and because of that you could kill him immediately because it is immediately a nefashious issue. We know very clearly a person has a connection to his possessions, and he will confront the burglar, and he will for sure put himself in danger. So ask Reuven, see his words in the middle of source 21, in the case of the caravan case, so in that case, once again, back to the caravan case, back to the people who are walking in the desert, back to the people in the city. If naturally people are going to stand up in order to protect their money, so here again, it becomes a nefashos case. Says Reuven, the yesod of guarding the shayara, the caravan, and the yisod of guarding the city is what? We go according to the gorem lenezik, the thing that causes the nezik. And as I said beforehand, why is it that the burglars are coming to your town? Why are they coming now to this caravan? They're coming because of the money. In the case of Bamachteres, so we just examine this case, Lemaise. What is the reason? Is there here a nefashis issue or not? Is nefashis, you could kill. Okay. But when we want to decide how to calculate taxes, we decide according to the goyrem hanezik. We go according to the cause of the nezik. He brings two sources that support him. One is the Mordechai. Let's leave him for a second. And the other one is the Maharik. The Maharik says that the Gemara Baba Kama, that you are now, it's in the footnote number 5. In page number 3, the Maharik says there's a Gemara Baba Kama, there is a ship who is in the middle of the sea, and now it's starting to drown the ship. So you have to start throwing out things. Says the Gemara, that you throw according to the masoi velo lefi mamona. You go according to the weight of the things and not according to the value of the things. And for example, says the Maharik, for example, he says that a person has 1 kilo of gold, but a person has 50 kilos of metal. So, actually, maybe the opposite. I don't know. But he says that if a person, so they decide, everyone now has to throw 1 kilo, for instance. So now, in that case, he'll throw the kilo of metal and he'll throw the kilo of gold. Although the kilo of gold is very, very, let's say everyone has 50 kilos of things. What a person has 50 kilos of gold, 50 kilos of metal, and a person has 50 kilos of feathers. So in that case, they decide, everyone will throw away 1 kilo. The kilo of gold, obviously, is much more valuable than the kilo of metal or the kilo of feathers. But nevertheless, says the Maharik, since the weight is causing the damage, is the goyrem hanezek, the weight is the cause of the damage, so because of that, we're going to throw things away according to the goyrem hanezek, to the thing that actually damages. So in that case, we don't go according to the mammon. So, and he says, that would be also the reason of the tax. What brings people here? The mammon. The possessions, the fact that you have a lot of money. We know that there people here have valuables. That's why we're coming here. So that's why, says Reuven, we go according to the money. So, just to summarize what I said very, very quickly, that the reason why we go here according to Mammon, according to Reuven, because the money brings here the damage. And it is similar to the case of the weight of the ship, that the weight is causing the damage, so we go according to the weight. But now the cause of the damage is the value, so and the money that you have, so that is the reason why we go according to the mammon. Okay. Another two reasons why we go according to the mammon. So Chazon Ish brings one reason that doesn't seem to have anyone who says so except himself, that maybe it's within tzedakah, that listen, it's a mitzvah to have a wall in a city, so in that case, if it's a mitzvah, so a person who has more money, so he has more obligation to give tzedakah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you and bless you with all of these things? Is because you have more money, so you have more money, give more tzedakah. That's your obligation. So that could be one. That could be another reason why a person who has more money should pay more, because he has more ability to do so. But what seems to be the main reason, says both Chazon Ish and Hesivus, and that is also the main reason halacha lemaisa, according to the contemporary poskim, is why is it we go according to the money? Because if you have more money, so more money is saved, so you have more hana'ah. As the Chazon Ish says, in source number 23, in the second line, אפשר דהח עליו צדקתי הוא אלא כל אחד חייב לפי הנעתו ומקום כמו חשבים לפי המון דרך השגת הממון הוא ההשתדלות השגתו ושמירתו מהפסד. He says that money is valued by two things. First of all, by gaining the money, but not less important, saving the money from being harmed. And that is the way for you to actually benefit and enjoy this money. So if you have $1 million and now it's kept safe, so in that case you're enjoying much more than the person who's putting inside the safe only $1, because he's now saving only $1. You're saving $1 million. So because of that, you have to pay more for the safe, for the wall of the city, because you're actually benefiting more than others. That is according to Chazon Ish, and that is also what emerges from the Nesivis in source 24. That here's a bit of a different example, but for some reason the poskim enjoyed this Nesivis very much. That he says that in the case of the Beit Shar, so we divide it according to the mammon, right? We said that that person in the yard, so we divide it, we build a Beit Shar in order to prevent the Hezek Re'iyah. How do we do it? According to the money. But, says the Nesivis, if two neighbors want to put a wall in between themselves, so we don't do it according to the money, they put it and they have to pay equally. I'm the neighbor of Moishi, we put it in between us, a wall, although that Moishi is much richer than me, we both have to pay the same amount of money for the wall. But, in the case of us putting the wall outside, we go according to the money. Why? Says in the Sivis, because in the case of two neighbors, each of us are actually harming each other. We're both mazik, so both of us have to pay equal in order to stop being mazikim. But when we put the wall in order to prevent external mazikim, external people that are looking into our yard, so in that case, the person who will be more harmed is actually now benefiting more from the Beit Shal, from the wall, and that's the reason why for you to pay more than the other person. So again, the yesod is how much you actually benefit from it. Yes, Moishi. That's a very good taina. The Rishonim say that it's not according to the money in the bank, it's according to the money they have at home. So if you're very rich, but all the money is in the bank, so in that case, you'll pay less. If you have more valuables at home, so that is the reason. Okay, so halacha maase in the yard, we divide the tax for the wall and for the shmira of the possessions according to the amount of money that you have. We said three reasons: either because of tzedakah, doesn't seem to be the real reason, or because the money is the gorem la nezik, it actually brings the burglars. So in that case, the more money you have, the more reasons for burglars to come. And the third reason is because you're actually benefiting more than others, because you are now having insurance for $1 million, as opposed to your neighbor has now insurance only for $10,000. Okay, so that is according to the possession, and that is the halacha. Now let's go finally to the Vad Bait payment. The Vad Bait payment. So I brought here from the great website called Kol Zchut. It's an Israeli website for people to know their basic rights. And the law is that how should you pay the Vad Bait? As I mentioned last week, כל דירה משלמת בהתאם ליחס בין שטח רצפות הדירה לשטח כלל הרצפות של הדירות בבניין. According to the size of your apartment. According to the size of your apartment, that's how we decide. However, if they want to calculate in a different way, בעלי הדירות בבניין רשאים לקבוע באספה כללית, you have to have a general meeting with everyone together, and they could decide in a different way of paying, maybe according to the number of rooms, or to have an equal payment among everyone. But we see that we go according to the size of the house. Halachically, do you think that should actually count? I mean, I know that this is the law, both also in Canada, but the claim of my neighbors back in Yerushalayim, they used to say to me, listen, we have the light. What is the concern about the size of my house? Obviously, to have the light equally in the hallway. Why should I pay more money than you for the electric bill of the building? Why should I pay more money than you for the elevator? Why should I pay more money than you? They're cleaning once a week in our building. So in that case, maybe we should go according to that, according to the Hana. We clean once a week, no matter how filthy it is. Just everyone should just pay equally. It could be a good time, yeah? That's for sure. So once they buy an apartment, so the contract does say explicitly that we go according to the Chukei Medina. Okay, but they say, put aside Chukei Medina. That's what they say, and that's what they usually say in certain places. Put aside the Chukei Medina. What is the logic behind this thing?
So we shouldn't have agreed to buy this apartment.
But
the logic will be logic in demanding more will be that you benefit more because you have 10 people who are happy that you live in a clean building.
But who says the
not,
person
not
has
about the size, about the number of.
So nefashas is actually it's a good taina, right? Every individually, but let's say a person has a huge house and he lives there alone.
Right.
So why should he pay? The law says that he should pay according to the size of the apartment. Why should he do that? Doesn't make a lot of sense. So in the book Vada Bayit Ba'alacha, there's a whole book discussing this thing. It's so funny that in North America this never comes up, but in Israel, majority of the Torah comes up things and buildings, and he says that we should indeed go according to the amount of hana that person has. And he says, if you ask me, how should the halacha be? So in source 26, so he brings a list of all kinds of things. He says, let's say the cleaning of the house. Of the building. He says, as you said, you have 10 people in your house. So in that case, 10 people are now enjoying a clean building. They have to pay accordingly. So, but he says, not according to the size of the building, and not according to, the houses. Each and every house has a certain amount of people who are enjoying a clean building. They have to pay more. That's what he says. Because you have to go according to the ana. He does say that, let's say, for instance, having light. So if the light is on all the time, so in that case, so it's light, it's on all the time. He says ner lechad, ner lemea. So there's no difference between the amount of people, because once there's already a candle lit, so it influences many. But he says we should do according to the size. So he says that halachically, it seems that we should do according to how each and everything that we calculate, we should do it according to how much people are actually enjoying this thing, and not according to necessarily to the size of okay, and not according to the size of the house. That's what he says.
Why should we not distinguish between things that are for hana and things that are for maintenance?
So he does. He does. He says, see in footnote 10, for instance, Rabbeinu Shafran, so he says that there is a logic behind the size of the apartment, because if you're now fixing the foundations of the building, now the building won't collapse. If you have a bigger building, so you actually now fixing the foundations of a much bigger apartment, yes, the size of the apartment actually indicates your hana. If you're now fixing maybe the sewer, and now so you have more bathrooms inside the big apartment.
So
Lemaise, what they say the post scheme is that you have to find some kind of pshara, because it will be very, very annoying and very hard to calculate all these things. Because regarding the light, it's equal. But regarding the cleaning, it's not equal. And regarding the maintenance of fixing the foundations of the building, so of course the bigger apartment should pay more. So they all say, more or less...
It's also Eilat Ha'Rasof, because it's not just about how many people live there, but what age they are.
How many visitors are coming? Are their grandchildren coming, or their grandchildren live in Canada? I mean, everyone has different ways of calculating. So that's why Lemaise, the Vabayit Bahalacha says in page 45 in Amud Memhei. So he brings Tumas Adeshen, and already in the time of Tumas Adeshen, it was very hard to have a clear idea. And Bechol Einyanim, this is a typo of myself. Bechol Einyanim Halalu Hamutavu Shiasu Pshara. So find some kind of calculation. And no one should say that there is a clear halacha, because it is very hard to find the clear calculation according to halacha. It's almost impossible. There are so many factors and so many parameters. It's so hard to determine what is the final amount. So he says that we should find something. So because of that, the post can say that if you want to decide to go according to the size of the apartments, that makes sense. If you want to go to according to each apartment individually, that also makes sense. Both of them actually make sense, because both of them have factors that actually support them. So whatever is, it is. And because of that, if they want to change in my building, so the poskim will say, and that's my opinion, because I was the person who was actually losing, but the way I saw in the poskim, but it seems that if they want to change the way of calculation, when we got, so we were according to the law, and it was according to the size of the apartments. If you want to change it, they can't do it. They have to have, according to the law, both according to halacha, they have to have an agreement of 100% of the people there, because since both ways of calculations actually make sense and have a source in halacha, so that's why they won't be able to change it without the agreement of the entire building. That is also mentioned in sources 28 and 20 and 29. If you want to do something which is against the minhag, so it says the Ma'arik says it the clearest in source 29. He says, "Ein koach bead shum rashay kahal v'koshek in rashay kila lechadesh shum askama chadasha medatam mebli reshut kulam." You have to have the permission of absolutely everyone if you want to do something which is against the minhag, and that's why you have to have, according both to law and halacha, 100% of people agreeing on the way of changing. A few last things. Although my neighbors were, certain neighbors were very upset, saying that they have to divide the vad bite equally because we're all benefiting the same amount of the electricity and the cleaning maintenance of the building. But in certain cases, and that is a common svara, let's say in the Haredi circles, but also in the Haredi circles, they agree of something that happens all the time in Israel, at least in the Haredi circles, and that is what happens when you have an apartment and divide it into two. Divide the apartment into two, and now you have two families living in one apartment. They build another small unit inside the apartment. It is usually illegal, and now you have people who two families who live in actually one place. So how much should they pay? So here, I brought also in footnote 9, that Rav Silma, that there's a great, I don't know how to say it in English, alon.
Yeah, there's no word for it. It's an alon.
Alon, right? The transitory, what is it?
It's a publication.
A publication.
A weekly.
Alon Shabbat. A weekly. So there's a great one which is published by the Kol of Rav Fleischman. I forgot their name. In the Yerushalayim. And they have Choshen Mishpatishus. And there they had a bunch of rabbis that discussed this topic. What happens when you divide the house into two? So since footnote 9, he says, Rav Silman, Eino dome yechida shmitgorer b'mishpacha shlema leyechida shmitgorer b'zug tzair. So he says it depends which family comes inside. לכן נראה לקבוע שאם נוסיף יחידה של שני חדרים שראוי למגורים למשפחה, it's not a unit of a small house. It's actually, it's a nice unit. It has two rooms, place for a family to live. יש לשלם על דירה שמה נוספת. Yes, a person who lives there. It's a new family who lives there. It's a new apartment. You have to pay as if it's a new apartment. ואם הוסיף חדר או חדר וחצי, יש להוסיף כמו חציה דירה, לשם השניים חלק אחד וחצי ביחס לשאר הדיירים. If it's a small place that it's only a studio apartment for a single person or for, I don't know who lives there alone, this is not a full apartment, he shouldn't pay the full price, so because of that, this entire thing together will pay only 1.5 of the vad bayit, not 2 payments of the vad bayit. And one last thing, and we'll finish with it, is the Yad Rama. I can't read all of it. I'll just say to you, Baal Peh, what he says. Everyone used to say that having the size of the house doesn't count. We don't take that in consideration at all, and we don't care about it. And the halacha doesn't seem to take that in account. There is a person who takes it in account, and that is the Yad Rama. And he says explicitly that when the Gemara is discussing, do we go according to Nefashos, or do we go according to the amount of money that you have in the house, we always take in calculation as well, also, the size of the house. And he says it's very clear, because the money of the house, one week you have a lot of money in the house, the other week you have a small amount of money in the house. One week you have 5 people in the house, the following week you have a new tenant, he has 10 people in the house. How could you possibly go according to money in the nefashos? There's one thing which is always consistent, and that is the size of the house. And if I understood him correctly, the Rama, so he also mentions that in the city, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because the bigger house you have, so the diameter of the city becomes bigger. Heikef, how do you say heikef?
Yeah, circumference.
Circumference. Yeah. What is diameter? Is it radius?
Diameter is across.
Is across.
Circumference is around.
Is around. So the wall has to be bigger because there's a bigger house inside the city. So because of that, we have to take into account the size of the house, which makes a lot of sense. So you have a bigger...
He was also discussing that depending on where you were located in terms of
So he says, we take that into account as well, but we should not forget, and in the end of the day, even though you live in the center of the city, we have a huge house. Because of that, the wall will have to be bigger. And because of that, we will take into account the size of the house in order to... So I think so what she's asking is this the right thing also regarding a chatzer or in a building? Because so I think yes, because you are actually adding another full level to the building. And if you are two houses inside one level, so yes, two houses are actually causing one level. So yes, you should go according to the size. So also going to the size, which is the law that has a strong halachic basis as well. Okay, we'll leave it for today. Shkoyach.